How are you today? How's your week? Anybody sick at your house? How many of you had sickness in your family in the last 2 weeks? Put your hand up. All right, don't shake hands with these people. All that fellowship. We pray over the fellowship. Pray over the fellowship. That's right. Just wash your hands a lot. That's all right. That's right. We need to get a baptism of sanitize all over us. I prayed this morning that we'd be free from distractions. And we'll pray that again in just a moment. Because I felt like today that the evil one would want to distract us from hearing and experiencing what God has for us. I was praying that earlier, praying through the worship time. I feel like there are a number of us here today that have distracting things going on with us right now. Might be good things. You know, devil will bring a good thing along to get you away from the best. Sometimes that's the easiest way to do it. So I want us to pray. I want you to pray with me and ask God to take away the distractions from you that you can hear with your heart today what he wants to say to you. And I also want to remind you that as I share, the Holy Spirit does something with this. Because sometimes, you know, when some of you are leaving, you say, boy, preach that with you. You really spoke to me about this subject. Well, I never mentioned that subject. God did a miraculous thing in between. So however he wants to use that today, I want him to do it, okay? Let's pray. Now, Lord, in your name and in your power right now, we come under your authority, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord over all. And we ask you, Jesus, right now, for your power to come into this room. Asking, Lord, that you'd remove every distracting thought. And Jesus, in your power, if any distracting demons have come into this place, we say to them, be gone in the name of Jesus and in his power. Lord, may we concentrate upon you right now and what you want to say to us. And it is in your name and your authority that we pray. Amen. Now, last week we began a new series. Are you tired of spinning your wheels? A lot of things we spin our wheels about, and for several weeks now we're going to pursue these topics about things that we believe, hallways that the world, the flesh, and the devil has got us going down, that's just really making us spin our wheels and not get anywhere in our relationship with God. You ever feel like you're just sitting there? You know there's motion, but you're not going anywhere. Happened to John Bonifacio several years ago. He's in a little Honda. He'd been making fun of my truck for several years. My old broke down Nissan truck that I had at that time. And John's out in Georgetown, decided he's looking at some property out there, and he calls me on his cell phone. Dust, can you come out here and meet me out here? I said, why, John? He said, well, I need to see you. I said, but what do you need to see me about? He said, I'm stuck. He said, you're stuck. Oh, I understand now. You want me to bring my old broke-down Nissan truck out there to pull your Honda Civic out of the mud. I'll be glad to, John, in Jesus' name. Did I relay the story accurately, John? Okay. All right. He was spinning his wheels, and he needed a power to get him out of there, to yank him out of there. That's what I'm praying for us. Now, I want you to hear this today. The title of today's message is feelings are not in charge. Now, a couple of questions. Do you ever feel like that your feelings dictate your life? Here are some common statements. Oh, I don't feel like doing that. Any of your children ever said that to you? Well, let me ask you this. When your child says that to you, what do you think? What do you think God feels like when we tell Him that? Put the shoe on our foot. Or here's another one. You hurt my feelings. We know some folks, when you walk in the room with them, they've got their feelings scattered out all over the floor. There's no way you can step except step on their feelings. Can I get a witness on that? All right. Or, now this one's going to bite. If it feels good, do it. Right? Wrong. You know, when I was a teenager, that'd be the wrong thing to say, because I had a lot of great ideas that felt real good at the time, and people around me that could have probably talked me into anything, or me to them. That's not the thing you need to hear. It's probably not the thing a 55-year-old man needs to hear either. If it feels good, do it. Now, you ever get up some morning and you don't feel like you're a Christian? Be honest now. You ever at some time in your life just say, you know, I don't feel very Christian today? Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And one more question for you. Do your feelings rule you? Here it is. These are two great verses. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who feels like it. Right? Wrong. To everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Okay. Let's go to the next verse. For in it, the righteousness of God, in the salvation he's talking about, in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, those who feel like it shall live by their feelings. Is that what it says? No, it says, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. Hit it, John. As a young Christian, the devil turned me every way but loose with my feelings. Received Christ in my life. I know that Jesus came in my life when I was 15 years old. Probably happened before that, but I know then. I had the assurance of my salvation at the age of 15. Well, then we'd have these people come into church and give testimonies. And I remember this this guy who had been a drug addict, had been out on the streets, all that stuff, came in and gave this wonderful, glowing testimony during a revival meeting at our church when I was growing up. And I thought, man, I didn't feel like that when I came to Christ. Another guy came in who had had a very ethereal kind of academic kind of, I mean, he was very much an academic bent toward things, apologetics, into the Word, and was sharing his testimony. I thought, you know, my coming to Jesus wasn't very academic. You see where I'm headed with this? One thing after the other. I was putting myself there saying, I don't feel like they did. I was looking at a little pamphlet that was put out by Campus Crusade for Christ. And in the pamphlet was a picture of this train that you see. It's called the Fact, Faith, Feeling train. Now let me explain this to you. And you say, well, why are you chasing this today? I'm chasing this today because God used this to bring a tremendous theological, biblical truth to me that just leveled the ground and busted through a lot of wrong presuppositions that I had about the Word of God and about relationship with Jesus. Feelings are not in charge. Now look at the locomotive. This train, you have the locomotive, right? Then you have the coal car behind it. What does it take to make the locomotive run? You put the coal, you burn it in the locomotive, it produces that energy, and this train runs, right? Now, what is the caboose doing? Oh, the caboose is great when you're going down a hill. Woo! But how about when you're going up a hill? How about when it's tough? You see, the fact is, according to John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. God loved us. He made the first move. He provided the way through Jesus Christ. The fact is, Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He has given us the opportunity to receive Him in our lives through His resurrection from the dead. We can rise to and have a new life in Him. But that does me absolutely no good in my life. I can know that all day until I do something with that. What did we see last week in Ephesians 2:8 and 9? For by grace you are saved through what? Faith. You can have that out there all day long, but until you trust in Christ yourself, your salvation train doesn't move. You have no relationship with Christ. Because you see, God has no grandchildren. Well, my mama, she's very faithful. My daddy, that doesn't mean jack squat when it comes to you. What have you done with Jesus? A relationship with Christ doesn't come by osmosis. You know, kind of like I used to, I'd be studying and lay down on the pillow and I'd have my head right in my book, sleeping, thinking maybe some of that information will just migrate its way into my head. Not going to happen, right? Not going to happen. So it is with a relationship with Christ. If you want your relationship to Jesus to move, you've got to place your faith in Him. And we saw last week that the only person that can do that is us. He has given to us the privilege of choosing Him. Of choosing Him. Or not choosing Him. Accept or reject. That's why we use the terminology around here to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, what did the feelings contribute to that transaction? Absolutely nothing. Feelings are always a result. They follow. That's why some days I can get up and man, I felt bad and maybe I'm sick and maybe the circumstances aren't right, but I push through that, and what do I see? I have a relationship with Christ that my feelings, that nothing in this world can destroy. That's what he's saying here. The just, that is the righteous, and who are the righteous ones? How do you get to be righteous? You choose him by faith. By faith. I'm not righteous because I performed all these works. I'm righteous because Jesus chose me. He revealed himself to me and he said, your righteousness is going to send you where? Where? Hell. That's right. Because Scripture says our righteousness is as filthy rags. So we've got to choose him. And he gives us his righteousness. That's why we have this picture and we sing all these songs about being washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's what grace is. It's getting something you don't deserve. And on the other hand, mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Do you see how great a gift of love this is? So I can feel a lot of ways. But my feelings can't be allowed to dictate my life, starting with salvation. Now, let's move on to see what the rest of this verse means, this phrase. The just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Now, hear me on this. We are not saved by grace and preserved by works. It's not like God has given you this gift of salvation and he said, okay, now, if you screw it up, I'm going to take it away from you. Anybody screw it up this week? Huh? Well, about 3 or 4 of us were honest. Let me put 2 hands up. I stepped in it several times this week. Big time. And if you're playing my life, and I pray you don't get to see that. That, oh man, Pastor Doug, he stepped in it. He messed it up. But you know who was waiting there to forgive me? To set me back in right order with him? There his arms open wide. Because he loves me. He loves me. And I don't use that relationship as a license to sin, because it breaks his heart when I do sin. And he's not given that gift so we can trample on it. He's given that gift because he loves us. Kind of like, you know, when you've let that last that ball go through your legs out at shortstop, and the game winning run for the other team just scored, and you're walking off the field and nobody else wants to talk to you because you're the GOAT. And there's your mama. Put her arm around you and say, it's all right, son. You see that kind of love? What kind of love did I just illustrate? It's called Unconditional love. Unconditional love. Now, not only do we come to Jesus by faith, He wants us to live by faith. Because it's a continuous action verb, that the just shall live on a continuing basis by faith. So every day it's got to be living by faith. And if you haven't gotten that in today's society yet, cheer up. You're going to need it. About listening to His voice. And about, just like in salvation, when He comes to you the first time and you receive Him into your life, and oh, you know, it's such a wonderful thing. It wasn't because you had a feeling about it. It was because you saw Jesus and you placed your faith in Him, and things began to move. And then feelings came. They followed. It's like that in your daily life. God is challenging us every day to live according to Him, to listen to Him by faith. What is faith? Well, turn to chapter 11 in Hebrews. Hebrews 11. By the way, let me do a commercial. For the next several weeks, I'm not going to put any verses up on the screen. I don't want to make you a cripple when it comes to having your Bible. I want you to bring your Bible. And I'm going to put eventually going to put them back up here, because I think it's advantageous. I want you to bring your Bible with you so we can thumb through these together. Okay. All right, verse 6, chapter 11 in Hebrews. We're going to do 1 and 6. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. King James says the subject of things. The assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. See the definition of faith? Faith means I don't see it, but I trust in the One who does see it for me, and I'm going to listen to His voice. I'm going to do what He says. Let me give you an example of that right now, that's operative right now. In countries today around the world, and there are a lot of them, where Christians cannot practice their faith publicly like we get to here for now. And by the way, I say for now, because if you're idiot enough to think that there aren't people in our government today, people in this country, people part of organizations who want to clamp down, who do not want me standing right here proclaiming the truth of God, and who would clamp down every public expression of our faith in Christ, well, you better rethink things. Because there are people who want to do that right now in this country. And to think, you know, we have trampled on our gift of freedom in this country, all the freedoms we enjoy. Freedoms that right now our men and women are fighting for around this globe. Let the Taliban come here. You say, oh, that's crazy, Dusty. That's crazy. Well, where's the Taliban in other places in the world? And how much freedom do they have there? So, bear in mind, when I say that, I'm serious about that. I'm enamored with the Chinese Christians. Because they truly have to believe the just shall live by faith. Because there are times when they have to listen to the Lord and pray about and to His voice. Do I need to go there or over there? And they can't deduce an opinion from information gathered. They've got to listen to God. One of my favorite stories out of John Knox, the old Presbyterian divine from Scotland, in his memoirs. I shared this with several of you before. Cardinal Beaton, who was religious, but who hated the public expression of free Christianity. He had been on the trail of this fellow by the name of George Wishart. George Wishart. George Wishart had come to know the Lord, and he was going from town to town sharing Christ with people. And he would pray before he went to these towns, and God would show him where to go and where not to go. There are many times he'd be riding his horse coming into a town, and the Lord would tell him, don't go in that town. He'd go to another place. Because what was waiting on him? A trap laid by Cardinal Beaton. Finally, this went on for years. And Wishart is headed to this particular town. I can't remember the town in Scotland where he's headed. And people came to him and said, well, George, the Cardinal has laid a trap for you there. He said, I know. How did he know? That's exactly right. Say that.
Because God told him.
That's exactly right. God told it to him. He said, well, you're going to go there. The Cardinal's laid a trap. He's going to kill you. He said, God told me it's my time. And he walked right into it. The Cardinal had already set a buffet table in the second story of a building where he and his friends could gather and watch Wishart burn at the stake. They strapped him to it. And even as they were strapping him to it and they lit the fire, George Wishart was praying. And he pronounced a prophecy that if they didn't turn, that death would come. Cardinal Beaton was healthy as a horse. As he and his friends watched George Wishart burn at the stake with his testimony before the Lord. Several days later, the Cardinal met death as they broke into his chamber and he was murdered. Well, why did I tell you that story? The just shall live by faith. By every day placing your faith in him. Not because I felt a certain way, but because I'm going to follow you in obedience. Now listen closely to me. Many of us spend most of our week letting our feelings dictate and command us, and they become Lord of our lives. And that is sin. We manipulate people by our feelings. In fact, for some of us, we've gotten to a point and say, oh, don't talk to him about that. You know what will happen when you bring up that subject. That's manipulation. That's garbage. That's sin. Some husband and wife relationships. We've gotten to the point where we think, well, I can get away with it. I can manipulate my family in this way. Wrong. Wrong. Feelings. Feelings. Feelings must come under the Lordship of Jesus, whereby you start with a fact of God's love and His presence, and that He will speak to you and through you. And you know why? How we know that He's speaking through us? Because we get evidence from this book and we get evidence from other believers that God shows that what we are doing is right and it is good. So many times we just want an accomplice to to our feelings. We want someone to come in and say, oh yeah, yeah, that's right, you need to do that, because we've been dictated by our feelings. And we go back to that, but at the base of it, what is it? It's our feelings. And it's not God. Now, am I saying feelings are bad? No. Feelings are not good or bad. They're neither. But God hasn't chosen to let them be in charge of our lives. And see, where the evil one will come in with feelings, well, if it feels good, do it. You see this? Are you following me? The just shall live by faith every day, living with him. Now, for many of us, this is going to require a change of life. Decisions we make. Home decisions, business decisions. Is it God ruling it? Because see, most of us won't want to, we want to go ahead and make the decision and then get God as an accomplice. Did you hear that? No. You go to God, see what the mind of Christ is, then you make the decision. Give me an example. Had a guy come to me years ago. He's married. And I thought he was fooling around, and sure enough, he was. And I thought that I knew who he was fooling around with, another woman, and I was correct on that too. And by the way, don't ever feel like your secrets are not safe with me. Just don't let them give me the sodium pentothal when I go to the hospital, because they are. They are. I wouldn't have been at it this long, divulging people's. This was years ago in another time and place. This guy comes to me. He talks to me, beats around the bush a lot, and he's a believer. I sincerely believe he had Jesus in his life. He says, you know, preacher, said, me and my wife have been having a lot of problems. I know that. He said, but you know, I have a wonderful relationship with this woman at work. Now, did any red flags just go up for anybody? And so I let him talk. I mean, I immediately, my juggler just kind of popped a little bit, but I let him talk, and he just said, well, you know, we have such a wonderful relationship, been talking to her, and she's in a bad marriage too. And we just believe, we just feel like that this would just be such a wonderful thing. She's in a bad marriage, I'm in a bad marriage. All God's chilling in a bad marriage. And we'll get together. Said, oh, we just have such a wonderful relationship. Said, would you counsel us? I said, yes. I'll start right now. Stop. What? I said, stop. You're about to step off a cliff. Stop. You've let your feelings rule you. Go back home. And as much time as you've been spending talking to that woman at work, Why don't you try talking to your wife and finding out who she is? You're about to destroy not just you, but you and several families. You're about to nuke them because of your feelings. What about you? Has the devil ever manipulated you with your feelings? Of course he has. Like E.D. Hill said, you know, our big problem is we all want to act like we ain't never done nothing. Yeah, we have. We've screwed it up. The just shall live by faith. You came to Jesus by faith, and he wants you to live each day. It's a step of faith, isn't it? It's a step of faith. All those things that we thought we could depend on in this life, I think kind of recently we've realized there's a lot of that I can't depend on. But let me tell you who you can depend on. Jesus. Are you tired of spinning your wheels? Now I know today that in the midst of this message, that I've spoken some truth. And it's a lot truer in many of our homes than I think we even want to admit right now. I want to see a revolution. A Jesus revolution in our homes. Let's pray. And as we come to this time of response, let me go ahead and take this out of play. If you're worried about praying today, come to the altar and praying that someone might think something awful wrong is going on. I want to let you know, Lord's already convicted me of several things while I've been standing here preaching. And so I'm going to beat you to the altar today, okay? Let's just get that out of the way. So, you know, even the delivery system gets wet. If you've never received Jesus into your life, you can receive him today. And you can pray this prayer with me that goes something like this. Lord Jesus, I realize I need you. I realize I've sinned. And right now I want to ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. And be the Lord of my life. He'll come in. Because he died on the cross and arose on the third day. He sits at the right hand of the Father and receives all who come in faith and trust. He'll come to you right now. He'll save you because he loves you. If you know him, are you living like it? Are your feelings dictating your life? Isn't it time to get that train going the other way for you? Trust in him today. Listen to his voice. What's he saying to you right now? Lord, we open the altar now. We say, come, Holy Spirit. Come speak to us, move in us. May we hear your voice and act in faith today. In your name and in your power, we pray. Look this way for just a moment. I feel like there are a lot of us that just need prayer today. Just there are things that are turning us inside out. And I want you to know today, Jesus said to us, my sheep hear my voice. I'm going to pray right now for you, all of us. As his sheep, we'll hear his voice. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters today. God, some who are going through horrendous circumstances. I'm asking you to do the miraculous, Jesus. Or does he turn to you? Not dictated by feelings, not torn up by all the stuff that the devil would bring to distract us. I'm asking you, God, for your power to come. Lord, some of us in this room have great family problems, great financial problems, great relationship problems, great work problems. Lord, some great emotional problems. Today, Jesus, I'm asking you, extend your hand of mercy and of healing over us. Lord, some of us have had sickness, and we need your healing today. Great physician, come and lift the sickness from us. We pray for your power and your strength, Jesus. We love you. And we bless you. It is in your name we pray. Amen. Look this way. We'd sure like to get those cards from you. If you have a card to bring, you can bring them on now. If you have an offering to bring, you can bring it now. I'll send you out in the name of Jesus. Go out and share the gospel, and if necessary, use words.